The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What in the Bible does saved mean? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and thank you for joining us for Grace in Focus. Now, right now, we are in a series that we're calling Different Meanings of Save. What we mean by that is that in the New Testament, there are different meanings for the word saved and salvation. Today, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to explore those words as they're found in the biblical book of Philippians. So, here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. We have started a new series looking at what does salvation mean in five different New Testament books. In the last episode, which if you didn't hear it, you can hear it at our website, faithalone.org, or on iTunes, Stitcher, different places. We started exploring the idea that salvation, in the popular understanding, is much more narrow than what salvation means in the Bible. And in the popular understanding, when people think about save or salvation, what do they think?
Well, if they're coming from a Christian context, they're thinking being born again, going to heaven, having eternal life, escaping hell, that kind of thing.
Right. So it's always about your eternal destiny.
Correct.
Right? But in the Bible, as in like common English, really, it can have a range of meanings.
Exactly. In the Old Testament, you'd miss it every single time because never in the Old Testament does it refer to being born again or having eternal life or escaping eternal condemnation.
Right.
And in the New Testament, it's about 30% of the time that it refers to escaping eternal condemnation, and the other 70% of the time it doesn't. And so you would miss it more than you would get it right.
We would miss it if you went to the text assuming every time it said salvation, it was referring to heaven or hell.
Right. And one of them we're going to look at when we go into the book of Philippians is a very famous one. I don't think we'll start there, but Philippians 2:12 says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." What in the world does that mean?
Well, you're getting ahead of us.
Right. So instead of going there, let's look at how we can lay the groundwork for understanding what that means. But understand, if that means you need to work out your eternal destiny with fear and trembling, well, then it sure sounds like Paul's teaching some form of work salvation.
Yeah. Which, if he is, we would accept it, if that's what he meant. Because you said in the last episode, whatever the text teaches, you're ready to believe.
You're right. And actually, he is teaching a form of work salvation, but not work salvation from eternal condemnation.
Right, that's right. So this series is a little bit of an exercise in doing a word study, basically, which you can do at home on your own by looking up a concordance and looking up a word and seeing how it's used in different verses. So that's what we're going to do for the word salvation. And we're going to start in the book of Philippians, or Paul's letter to the Philippians.
Right, and we're just going to look at the word salvation, or soteria in Greek. It's three times it occurs. In a word study, if you're looking at a word that's used a lot, like 500 times, it makes it very difficult to do that word study because it's so huge.
Right.
You've got so many contexts to look at. But if you're looking at a word that's only used three times, it's much easier. Now, in this case, the word is used, soteria, throughout the New Testament, but we're picking one book,
right,
and that also makes it easier. So just three times in Philippians.
Well, see, it's interesting because you can see that particular authors, not just particular books, but often particular authors prefer one meaning of a word, but then they're not always consistent across books. They can use it differently in different books, and even they can use it differently within the same book.
Right, they can, and that's why you always have to be careful when you're studying the Bible to come to each new context and evaluate it. Now, you certainly should be open to the fact the author may be using it the same way.
Right.
But if the context dissuades you, well, then you don't go there.
Now, if you think that's too complicated, I'm going to challenge you. This is actually very common. If, let's say, you go to the bank or your accountant, you go to your accountant says, "Guess what? I have a way to save you money and to save your business." Are you going to think that he's talking about your business not going to hell anymore, but it's going to go to heaven?
No.
Obviously not. Are you even going to think that saving your money and saving your business means the same thing? No, you know that saving money means not spending your money, and saving your business means it's not going to go under. It's going to continue.
Right.
You know that salvation has different meanings in the English context, and it's the same in the Bible.
And you don't think he's going to open up Philippians and start reading some verses from Philippians tell you how to save your money.
Right. So this might sound complicated, but you know it really isn't. But it does take a little bit of effort to almost like learning a new language, you know, learning a new terminology. It takes a little bit of effort.
Well, it's important for you to understand that interpreting the Bible is both an art and a science. We can teach you the basic science principles of it, and that's part of what we're doing here. But the art of it, you've got to actually do it for yourself.
Right.
The more you do this, the more your mind will be changed. Your mind will be renewed so that you begin to think biblically. And isn't that what we want? Don't we want what Paul calls the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2:16? Well, you get that by being immersed in the Word of God over time.
So in this article, and by the way, this is coming from an article that you're publishing in the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society, the spring.
I think it's autumn of 2021 and spring of 2022.
Okay. All right. So what's going into this issue?
This issue will be the Jesus's kingdom entry sayings in the Gospels, especially Matthew.
Well, that sounds interesting too. If you don't have a subscription to the journal, be sure to pick one up. It's under $10 for first-time subscribers.
That's for two. We do two issues a year.
Yeah. All right. So this comes from this article that's going to be, let's say, in the autumn 2021 issue of the journal. And the very first book you look at is Philippians. And you say there are three uses of soteria, which is the Greek for salvation.
Right.
There's three uses.
But we'll look at two before we get to the one that's the most of interest to people, which is work out your salvation in fear and trembling. We're not going to start there.
Very famous verse.
Why start there when there's two uses before we get there?
Okay. All right. So the first use is Philippians 1:19. Is that right?
Right. Maybe you could read 19 through 22.
Sure. Paul says, and by the way, what's the scenario here?
Well, Paul is in prison in Rome. This is around 60-61 AD. This is one of the prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. Paul is writing about his imprisonment, and he's talking here about his salvation while he's in prison. Now, the word used in the New King James is deliverance, but it is the Greek word soteria. And it's really unfortunate that translators will take the same Greek word in the same book and translate it different ways because the English reader then becomes a bit handicapped. But go ahead.
All right. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance, soteria,
right,
through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell.
Okay, now notice one thing here. Paul is not saying, I know this will turn out for my salvation from eternal condemnation.
Now, why'd you say that?
Okay, there's quite a few reasons. First of all, he's saying it's through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit. He doesn't say by faith in Christ. Remember Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved?
Mm-hmm.
Paul's teaching is that salvation occurs the moment you believe, and it has an abiding result, so you stay saved. That's right. Why a perfect tense is used in Ephesians 2:8. You have been saved, you are saved, you will be saved. And so what he's talking about here is a different type of salvation, and this is a deliverance related to him being in prison. Now, some people think what he's saying is, because of your prayers and the work of the Spirit, I'm going to be set free from prison.
Right.
But notice the end of this, he says, I don't know whether I'm going to go be with the Lord or to remain on and help you.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though he's inclined to believe that God is going to set him free from this imprisonment, he's not certain of that. But what he is convinced of is that this circumstance of being in prison is going to result in his soteria, his deliverance.
So let me see if I'm following your argument. Some people say this is salvation from a Roman prison. But you're saying whatever salvation this is, he's certain that he's going to have it. But by the end of this passage, he's definitely not certain if he's going to be freed from prison. So that salvation can't refer to being freed from prison because He's certain of that salvation, but he's not certain of being freed.
Right. Now, there are some commentators that see this as some kind of final salvation. For example, Robert Leitner, in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, he says the salvation here is not being born again, but it refers to, quote, either the final stage of salvation, he says, see Romans 5:9, which I think he misunderstands, but that's a different question, or future vindication in a Roman court. Now, I would disagree with both of those, but the point is, he thinks it could refer to final salvation, some final stage of salvation. However, Gordon Fee understands this in his commentary on Philippians to refer to being vindicated. And he says, quote, that Christ be magnified through Paul's imprisonment. Remember what Paul said here? He says, and I hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body.
Yeah.
So that's what Fee sees. And O'Brien, he suggests that we should go to Job 13:16, because Paul is quoting the Greek from the Greek version of the Old Testament of Job 13:16. And he's saying, just as Job was ultimately vindicated by handling his suffering well, so Paul was confident that he too would be vindicated by handling his suffering well. I should say this, Sean. I don't know of, other than Leitner, I don't recall any commentators who hold this as referring to finally getting into heaven or final salvation, what Leitner calls the final stage of salvation. And nearly every commentator sees this as some sort of vindication, being vindicated maybe before men or being vindicated at the judgment seat of Christ. But the point is, most of the commentators recognize that the context is saying this is a vindication of Paul because he's magnifying Christ through his imprisonment.
Interesting, interesting. I wonder if you would find vindication as a definition of soteria in the lexicons.
That's a good question.
I need to look into that. Bob, we're just about out of time. So let's continue this conversation about salvation in Philippians on the next episode.
Yeah, in the next one we'll look at Philippians 1:28, which is the second use of soteria in Philippians. So hang with us, because I think you're going to get some good stuff out of this.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow, we're going to continue our exploration of Philippians, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.